This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 395 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuttersincpodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne.
Hurry, I've got to go.
I know. The plane's leaving. Run, Glyn, run.
Hurry up.
Run, Forrest.
I'm actually at the airport waiting to leave, but you people are so damn important to me.
That's right.
I've gone into the prayer room, so I have to be a little bit quiet. I've gone into the prayer room, and sorry, sir, just pray when I'm finished. Please, I'm talking here.
Priorities, people. Priorities.
Some people are unbelievable. You know? It's all this and that, and no electronic devices, and and how rude. It's just disgraceful.
That's right.
Okay. I'm not quite ready to leave yet, but we're getting there.
How's your week been?
My week has been chaotic.
Right. Why is that?
Oh, just this, yeah, there's just no time to do anything, you know. We're just
between the horrible naps.
Well, I have no naps.
How are you coping, Mr. Lavender?
Exactly. You can see why I'm stressed if I've got no naps. Look, I've just been running around trying to get stuff organised for this trip. You know, I only had one customer, only got a visa on Tuesday.
Oh, Jesus.
For flying out on Saturday. And, of course, to get the visa, the passport was away in another state. So we're sitting there stressing out, waiting for that to show up.
Yeah.
You know, but now other than that, I took my mum out for lunch yesterday, which is, of ill health, so it was a bit depressing. But other than that, I'm running around like a chook without a head. I've just been getting my gear. I've been doing firmware updates. Right. And something I've never done before travelling, which
for
I don't know why I've never done.
For your camera or for something else?
Flash triggers.
Oh, right.
For Elenchrom flash triggers, because I'm taking a new Elenchrom portable studio lighting kit, the ELB. Well, it's not new. It's new for me. ELB 400 out with me on this trip. And one of my triggers wasn't picking up the system.
All right.
So do a firmware update. So I thought, well, I might as well do a firmware update for all of them.
Yep.
Which I did. And so I've been doing a firmware update. And then I said, well, there's all these apps on my phone I use when I travel. Now would be a good time to see if they need updating, rather than when I get over there and you turn it on and it goes, update.
Yeah.
So I've been updating a bunch of apps, which I thought was very smart of me.
Yeah.
To think of before I left.
Yeah.
But of course, the way the world is, there'll be three updates to be done whilst I'm away.
Yeah.
Anyway,
or one of the updates you've accepted will break an app that was previously working beautifully.
Exactly. And now the most used app no longer works. I've spent a few minutes this morning taping up bits of paper over all my battery contacts. Taping paper over my battery contacts for my spare batteries. I've got all these lithium batteries.
Right.
And they're so powerful, lithium batteries now, that the contacts touching stuff and ignite fires. So I'm covering them all, which seems fairly sensible.
With paper, which is not at all flammable.
Not at all, but it's more when two contacts, one battery and another battery, the contacts touch each other is where the problem.
Oh, I see.
They can't touch. That's a theory.
Right.
So I've been doing that. And then I thought, well, hang on a second. That's a fair pile of batteries right there. And so I went and weighed them. And they weigh 3.2 kilos.
Okay.
That doesn't include the batteries in my cameras. That's just the spares. So that's of my 7 kilos of onboard luggage.
Half of it is batteries. 3.2
kilos of it is batteries. The other 3 kilos is the case.
Right.
I can maybe put a magazine in there if I'm lucky and just be on board, you know, not taking the camera gear. So that's kind of mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for our international listeners, and by that I mean Americans, that's 7.05 pounds of batteries alone.
Yeah. Right.
I said that doesn't even include the ones that are inside the cameras or inside the triggers or inside the flash guns.
Yeah.
I'm probably carrying 9 pounds of batteries. Yeah, 4 loads of batteries with me, which is, when you think about it, that's just madness.
It is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Why can't we just have solar powered everything?
Exactly. Or just things that don't require electricity.
It'll make it a bit hard to do astrophotography, but other than that, it would be the perfect solution.
Just tape up the shutter, yeah? And then just pointed at the sky. It's dark. It's not like the lights can be flying. Then right. Pointed at the sky. Then, you know, 2 hours later of it, you know, untake the shutter.
Perfect idea.
Yeah. Someone should invent a manual mechanical camera. Oh, they did.
All the innovation in this industry is happening right here on this podcast, Glenn.
There you go. So how's your week been? Has it been fabulous? Has it been terrific? Has it been great? Has it been?
Well, it's actually been 2 weeks because we didn't record last week.
That's why it's so good.
Yes. Prior to what should have been last week's recording session, I went out and did a photo shoot with a girl named Angel McGrory, who reached out on my Sydney Photographers Group Facebook group.
She said, look, I've seen your photos. You obviously need practice. Is that what she said?
Something like that. So she wanted to do a shoot, and it was absolutely plagued with setbacks. We'd been talking about doing this shoot since probably early January, and there were constant hiccups to why it couldn't happen.
Hard to shoot someone when they've got constant hiccups.
Yeah, it was. I was very close to actually pulling the pin and just going, nah, look, this is just more hassle than it's worth. But we ended up getting together early last week. I think it was like Tuesday last week or something. And what I did not realise, and I'll say this in as tactfully as I possibly can, I don't mean to offend anyone, was that she was a larger girl than I was anticipating. She was about size 12, size 14. Sorry? Whatever you said, I didn't hear it, but anyway.
Probably for the best.
So, probably. So that was interesting, because I'd not shot someone, you know, of larger stature before, and it was challenging
someone of human dimensions.
It was challenging because she was very conscious of particularly her arms.
Yeah, as I can tell.
And got big guns, have you, mate? it was interesting. I've sent you three images to have a field day with. I don't even know which images I've sent you. I'll have to actually check. Yeah, so it was a challenge. I used your previous comments from the beach
shoot. I wouldn't listen to me.
From the beach shoot of using a quarter CTO gel, not a full CTO gel.
Oh, God, that was a good idea.
There was a spot that I'd hoped that we could go and shoot in, which was a Japanese commemorative garden here in Gosford. And we wandered in. It's free to walk into. And we got about 10 metres inside the garden, and suddenly there's this woman behind me going, I'm sorry, we charge a fee for photography inside the gardens. And so we went, yep, okay, thanks for that, bye. And hopped back in the car, and we drove off to a little point called Point Frederick, just a little land mass that sticks into the Brisbane water area south of Gosford, and just shot there. There's a...
See, in the photos, you've used that location really well.
Okay.
That's sarcasm, by the way, just in case you aren't aware of my tone.
Well, there's some different...
Of the three photos you've sent me, there's one
by the water?
You can't tell there's water.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
There's one next to a tombstone.
Yep, because there's some old gravestones there.
But is that a... What's the connection?
There's no connection.
Then why is she laying on a tombstone?
Because
she's
covered
like the best friend. It's like, here's my dad. This is my dad. Take a photo of my dad. My dead dad. Dead dad who's dead. My dad who's dead. He's dead. This is my dead dad.
No.
This was dead. He's dead. His next dad. He used to be my father. He was at once my father and longer a father shall he be. He is an ex father.
He's pushing up the daisies.
He's fighting for the fjords. He is not the father he used to be. Yes. If that's him every day, he's a dick of losing mind. Anyway.
Anyway.
So you sent through photos.
Yeah.
Start, Bruce.
I did say that they were just randomly selected out of the images.
So you pick the best ones, haven't you? He's just saying that as kind of a justification for...
No. No.
Oh, okay. look, I'll say first bit of advice about photographing the slightly rounder, bigger boobaged or man boobage if it's a bloke,
yeah.
Is that which is closest to the camera is best.
Is biggest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That which is closest to the camera looks the biggest.
Yep.
So if it's belly and or boobs that are closer to the camera, they're going to exacerbate and look bigger.
Right. So you're saying shoot from on high and angle down towards the face?
Or them sort of leaning on something, using their arms to cover. If you can bring their head closer to the camera and the body slightly further away,
yep.
Then the head gets a little bit lighter, the proportions start to work a bit better.
Right.
Yeah, proportions of shape. So that would be a perfect case in point of the tombstone shot.
Right.
That would have... Not that, mind you, I wouldn't shot that anyway, because I don't know, I don't understand. But remember, what's the photo about? What are you taking a photo for? What's the photo about?
Yeah, good question. Move on.
If we're trying to tell a story, what is the story?
Yeah.
If it's just a person, then why is there anything else on there?
Right.
So if you're adding something to the photograph, it's got to be added for a reason, and that reason's got to be to add to the story, or because it's really cool, maybe that's okay too. But a tombstone, especially one where you can read tales on it, person's names, people's names, that sort of stuff, that's making connections. That's think about what's the story. Oh, what's this person to do with this person?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
If I took a photo of you in front of some primary school sign,
right?
Okay. And then showed some random person that said, oh, did you go to that primary school? what can see the photograph is you and the primary school sign, or does he work? You know, there's an implied connection
right.
to you to that school,
yeah.
Because there are two elements that are in the shot.
Yeah.
So if I see a photo of you and the primary school, people who don't know, you're going to say, "Oh, is that the principal of the school? Does he work at that school? Did his children go to that school, or did he go to that school?"
Yeah.
That's probably the four most obvious storylines you would probably pick up from that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So if you put a coffin, a coffin is another example. You put a coffin next to somebody, would you do that? Would you put a coffin next to
Probably not.
Because then people are losing the coffin.
Yeah.
The coffin? Is she dying? Yeah, the story starts to change.
Yeah.
It's no longer just about her, it's her, and this element changes the fabric of the story of what we're trying to say.
Right.
So having this tombstone with obvious rights, yeah, it makes you think, is it a relative? Is it a distant relative? It makes you start to... Now, if it was a simple cross, where there was no writing on it, that was visible, maybe it changes the story. I don't know. Yeah, I still think there'd be a connection to, is that somebody she... or is that somebody related to her?
Yeah, right.
So it's just tricky when you add those kind of elements, because they do change the story.
Yeah.
Story. Now, what kind of modifier were you using on the flash?
For that one, none.
So you can see the shadow of the belly on the tombstone.
Right.
So what the big black shadow does when she's wearing a big black dress is it makes it big, much bigger.
Right.
It's the black blends into the black shadow, and it makes her belly look significantly bigger
right.
than it actually is.
Yep.
Can you see how that works? And that's exacerbated by the fact that the shadow is so hard. Yeah, the edge of the shadow is perfectly delineated. So if it had been a soft box or an umbrella or something, that shadow would have been really soft, and it wouldn't have looked like a continuation of her.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because the soft shadow... It doesn't look like a shape as much.
Yeah.
That looks like a very defined curve.
Yeah, right.
So it kind of makes when she gets her ears.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And then there's if you look at the nose shadow, once again, that nose shadow just started to touch the lips. Because if you zoomed right in, I'm sure you'd see separation. But because you're looking at it as a whole picture, it looks like the nose has one big long and connected to your lips.
Right. This is still the tombstone image, yeah?
Yeah, we've got lots we can talk about this for hours.
Thank you.
Now, the next thing, when you're photographing the larger lady, is what you don't really want to have the arm touching the body. So you've got the arm behind the back, which is a good idea because that minimizes the size of the hand, but you need space.
Right.
She needs to pull that arm out so there's a gap, because what happens is, especially, so once again, you've got two problems. The black dress blends into the black shadow, which makes her the lower half look much bigger.
Yep.
Then the top half is a skin-colored top blending into a skin-colored arm, which makes all that a much bigger mass.
Yeah, right.
So those masses are becoming, so you're making a girl who's, as you said, a bit self-conscious about her size.
Yep.
You're making her unconsciously and, you know, not deliberately, making it look far larger.
Right, yep.
So if you could have pulled that arm out, then you would have had this hollow between her arm and her body.
Yep.
And that would have given her a bit of shape.
Right.
So you can see you should have had a side and a bit of hip going on, and she would have not look as big.
Right. Cool.
And, of course, it would have softened that a softbox would have, or even just an umbrella. Yeah. I would recommend always just using just a simple shoot-through umbrella, because they're quick to pop up. Yeah, they're a bit of a pain in the wind, but all softboxes are.
Yeah.
But they're quick to pop up, and they do a pretty darn good job for not much stuff to have to carry.
Yeah.
And they're cheap.
Well, I had a light stand and a sandbag with me, so an umbrella wouldn't have been an issue.
No.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
Say anything, but it would soften that shadow on her nose considerably.
Right.
So that's the middle photo. So the first photo, when she's, I don't know, she's standing in a bush.
Yep.
With that, why she's in a bush?
It was just
as long as you're fully clear on that, it's okay. Standing in a tree, I say.
It was part of a walk-through archway that had these vines growing all over it.
Yeah, I can see that now.
Yeah.
Was the archway cool?
What?
Was the archway cool with the vines growing over it?
I can send you a shot that's got that in it.
Okay, because on this one, if that was the objective, oh, that's a cool location, let's use that, you've lost it, because you would never know there's an arch.
Right.
You wouldn't know there's a walkthrough. You wouldn't even really know they're vines. All I can see, I mean, you can't even see much greenery. It's just the branches themselves. So there's a girl leaning into some branches looking at me.
Right. Okay. I'm just sending you the one of her under the arch.
Oh, I'll look at that in a minute. And then there's that little thing with the dress going on there, with that under her armpit there, the little thing that you hang up on the coat hanger, sticking out.
Yes. Yeah, I noticed that when I was processing the image later.
Yeah, you should notice that when you're shooting. You can see how much easier it is to get rid of while she's shooting. And you can see that there's definitely a problem there with her arms.
Yep. What, the shadow on it?
Stretch marks or whatever they are. No, right. Not below the shadow.
There's, okay. There's
some pretty unflattering lines.
Yeah.
So and let's face it, the bushes and the lower quarter of her body in that outfit doesn't add anything to the photograph.
Right.
So crop the whole thing significantly tighter.
Right.
Her expression's nice.
Yep.
The lighting, other than the fact that the shadows are too hard, she's got that weird shadow under her nose.
Yep.
And the hard shadow under her chin.
Yep.
But if you crop all that in, you get rid of the arm problem.
Yep.
You get rid of a lot of the bushes,
yep.
And you have a nice expression, and she won't notice the shadow.
Right.
So crop, and croppity, crop.
Right.
the last one, that's three you sent through, which is, as you say, it's the ocean behind, but you'd never really, you know, you probably make an assumption that it's water, but there's no real clear indicator that that's what it is.
Well, what else would it be?
Who knows? Cement?
That looks like water. No. That's got to be the wobbliest bit of cement ever.
Not if I did the cementing, it wouldn't be. It would have been me doing some cementing.
Right.
But yeah, so that doesn't really matter. The point is, it's a fairly innocuous background.
Yep.
So you're not using the water very well. That was the intent. But if you're looking for a nice plain background that's complementary in the tones, well, that works pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, the rocks going into her head's not the best thing, but you know what you're going to do.
Sure.
There's a few flyaway hairs that are there, which are kind of hard to deal with.
Oh, it was weirdest, blowing a gale.
Exactly. You know, I'm not a big fussy person about flyaway hairs where some people are.
Yeah.
There's a very weird shadow under her chin.
Yeah. Yep.
Bump. Yeah, so I definitely cloned that out because I have no idea what's causing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. And once again, maybe the arm is not the most. But once again, it's because the arm's closest to the camera.
Yep.
It looks fairly. I would maybe just tighten it up just a little bit, get rid of a little bit less arm.
Right.
Or possibly smooth it down in post, just so it's not quite so bumpy and everything else. But her expressions, it was kind of cute, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. You're like, no, I'm not much into cute, but I think it's possibly cute.
Yeah.
Let's have a gander at this art, shall we? It's just coming through now.
Okay.
4 MB? You're sending me full-size files?
Sorry, it's just what I had. It's what I had on my phone. That's all.
That's terrible. Arch is just. That's one location you're going to use.
Shouldn't have used it?
No.
Right.
I mean, well, look at it. I mean, there's a pole coming out of her boobs, for starters.
Yeah.
A pole going directly out the top of her boob.
Yes, but what you can't see is the bright blue car that I did manage to hide behind her that was parked in the driveway beside the pole.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking. Either you clone that out before you show anyone the photo, because, mm-hmm. yeah, that would make sense. And I think, once again, I think you can crop tighter. So the right-hand side arch, where the arch finishes and you can see a little bit of road beyond it, yep. That's just not necessary.
Right.
And there's probably a fraction too much of that mottled foreground, which is a bit distracting.
Right, yep.
So if you cropped in on the right, yep. You'd be able to crop to the top and the bottom and make it a little bit tighter. But it's an ugly back, and I probably would have shot a much bigger lens and stood a lot further back.
Right.
So if you'd shot a bigger lens and stood a lot further back, then those background problems would have disappeared because her body would block more stuff.
Right.
There wouldn't be that big road behind her, which is just awful.
Yeah.
It would have compressed those trees and stuff in the background as a complete background. It might have been a more pleasant. I would say a lot of your photos, especially your full body ones, is you shoot too close.
Right.
Big lens. Zoom in, walk all the way back.
Right, okay.
And I think you'll find you'll click a lot better. Your photography will go, oh, that looks so much better.
Right.
Okay. It's just you're shooting your 28 to 75 or whatever it is.
Yep.
And it's probably at 75.
Yep.
Yeah. And so you can talk to people. So you're close. So you can adjust stuff. Yeah. Don't.
Okay.
Stand back, zoom in. You'll go, oh, that's so much better. But once again, her expression's nice. Again,
yeah.
I'm not a big fan. Maybe of the arm grabbing the arm, the hand grabbing the arm. It looks a bit.
I did that deliberately to try and reduce the bulk of the arm.
Yeah, but what you've done though is made it with the whole body there. Once again, because that there's no separation between body and arm.
Yeah.
You've given that massive thing. So once again, the best way to do that is to angle that up and get space, because she's got a bit of curve going on there and back down to her bum,
yep.
which would have been accentuated by her hand on her hip a bit.
Right.
A little bit of an angled arm would have really, really exacerbated that curve,
yep.
significantly, and it would have looked a lot nicer.
Okay.
But and what's that on her head? Is that zoom in? Oh, no, it's my cracks. Oh, no, I thought it was my cracks. No, so that flyaway hair on her head, I would get rid of.
Right.
So, only because that shadow is distracting. It's just the shadow is more of a problem than the hair.
Yeah.
You see, yep. The shadow. So you can leave the hair and just get rid of the shadow.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you wanted to. I'd probably clean up both.
Yeah.
But so I have no problem with flyaway hairs until they start throwing weird shadows.
Yeah, fair
so
enough.
So if it's flying off the background or sideways, that's okay. Yeah. But when it throws a weird shadow like that, I'd probably, not.
Yeah.
Well, there's the Pick on Bruce session for today's podcast. I'll send you some of my photos. We'll pick up my travel photos when I come back.
Okay. So I'm doing another shoot.
Oh, dear.
On Saturday.
I'll get on you, I mean.
On Saturday night. Tammy, the girl that I shot with in Lane Cove National Park back in September. Remember the one with the crazy coloured wig?
Yes.
Yeah.
I still wake up sometimes in a bit of a sweat.
So she reached out and said that she was interested in coming down to the Newcastle Central Coast region to do a shoot, and she wanted to do something with cars. And I said, okay. I said, I'd be happy to shoot with you again if she wanted to. And she came back and said, I would shoot with you anytime. I love your stuff. And so I said, what sort of car do you want? Do you want like?
And she's seen your photos again. She said to me,
I've shot with her before, mate.
It just shows there's no accounting for taste.
That's really correct. So I said, do you want a muscle car or do you want a, you know, hot four rice burner? And she said, oh, no, hot four rice burner would be good. And I went, okay, I'll see what I can find. So reached out on one of the photography groups and said, hey, does anyone have or know someone who has, you know, hot four rice burner that they'd be happy to have photographed with a model? And one guy came back and he went, yeah, I've got a mate who's got a couple of cars. I'll reach out to him. And so I got introduced to this guy who I still haven't met. I've just been chatting on Facebook. And he just, in the course of that conversation, said, I manage a winery in the Hunter Valley.
Ooh.
And so we threw around the idea of doing the shoot at the winery that he manages. And he said, look, I'm okay with it. He said, I'll just need to check with the owners when I get to work tomorrow, and I'll let you know tomorrow night. And I said, okay, no dramas. Came back to me the following night, and he said, mate, unfortunately, there's a function on at the winery that night, which is Saturday night this week. He said, so we can't do it. And I went, okay, bugger. And so I thought to myself, and by this stage, because I'd had 24 hours of kicking this idea around, I was really starting to warm to the idea. So I thought, well, I'll ring the winery that I'm a member with. I've been a member with them for over 10 years now. And as it happened, Catherine Max and I were only up there 2 weeks ago. We went up and we did some grape picking and, you know, we involved in this whole half day of activity at the winery. So I knew, or had recently had, you know, face-to-face conversations with the manager there. And so I got him on the phone and I said, g'day, mate. Yeah, we had a quick chat and catch up. And I said, look, this is the deal. I said, in my spare time, I'm a photographer. I've got a model who's coming down from Taree to do a photo shoot on Saturday night. We were wondering, could we possibly bring a car into the vineyards and park it by the grapes and do some photography? And he went, yeah, mate, not a problem. So I went, sweet. So, yeah, so we're going to do it at dusk, just as the sun's going down. And
dusk is. Let's clarify that. For a minute, what are you shooting 3 in the afternoon for? But no, you cleared that right up.
So, yeah, so that's happening this Saturday evening. So.
Okay, so what happens if you have a crappy sunset?
Well, I'll have lights and modifiers and all that crap, so we'll deal with it.
I've done this yet, but it's something I've been meaning to try.
Yeah.
Set your camera's white balance to 10,000 Kelvin.
Wow.
10,000 Kelvin.
Yeah.
And put a full CTB gel on your flash.
Okay.
Color temperature blue.
Yeah.
So if you've got a bit of a sunset, so it needs to be when the light's starting to dim down a bit. That 10,000 Kelvin will warm up your sky quite a lot.
Okay.
I mean, depending exactly what the tones of the night's like, it could be significantly brighter.
Yep.
And it's quite orange, like an orange sunset.
Right.
As an example. Then, the colour temperature blue will bring your sky, your whatever the flash hits, back to normal colour tone.
Right. Okay.
Make sense?
Yep.
Since it's cruddy, I want to add some colour in actual shooting rather than post.
Yep.
Then away you go.
Yeah, right. Okay. I shall keep that in mind if it turns out to be a bleak old afternoon.
Shoot really wide and close.
Yep.
And shoot really big, really far away.
Okay.
Don't set your normal mid-range stuff.
Right. Okay.
How wide can you
get? 20 mil.
Okay, so put your 20 mil on, walk to where you need to shoot.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, yeah, they'll give you that really elongated, they'll give you that, you know, the vines going off the distance with great elongation, the car looking absolutely awesome.
Yep.
You have to manage your model, but you don't have any arms leading out towards the lens because they'll get distorted, so you have to be a little bit careful with your body position.
Yeah.
But work that, and I think you'll find it's quite pleasant.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I can't wait to take the piss out of those photos.
I'm sure. You'll have forgotten about it by the time you come back.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So what have we got to cover this week?
Sweet. Not much. Right. I'm glad we talked about that. I've had no time to look. I'm just busy wanting to do this really quickly.
Yep.
Packing, and we've already been going 30 minutes.
I know.
I know, it's cray-cray.
So tell me about a couple of stories that you've got.
Well, I've got a couple of stories.
Yeah.
I just have to find them. And, well, the first one is, where is it?
Oh, the Canon and Nikon crazy DSLR stockpiles at the 2018 Winter Olympics.
Oh, yeah, have a look at that photo.
That's some gear porn for you.
Oh, my God. Gear porn indeed. So Canon have $500,000 worth of their top-of-range camera alone on loan. So $500,000 worth of Canon 1DX2s being used.
So let me ask, because I'm looking at these photos and I'm thinking they obviously don't have specific bodies and specific lenses earmarked for a certain photographer. It's just like a cloakroom where you come in and you go, give me a camera and a lens, and they just grab one
off. It's like a library.
Yeah, right.
You check out what you want and you check it back in at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah, it's all like barcodes. Scan the code for the lens, scan the code for the body, and away you go.
Yeah, sweet.
Huge. And this is the thing, that Japan has a huge market, a second-hand market, and all this stuff goes afterwards, goes to the second-hand market.
Yeah, right.
Japan. And so you see lots of these lenses will end up being used somewhere else, and but the bodies will almost all go out to, they'll have a certain amount to keep for loan, but a whole bunch of them just put it on the Japanese second market.
Wow.
You'll get snafu.
Wow.
That's pretty good. It's pretty cool. That's just a pretty darn sexy.
That's just crazy.
It's a dream, isn't it?
Yep.
The t'other one was, I just saw this, some of the World Press Awards out.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You choose what you think out of the six finalists. And it's some pretty, always the World Press run, it's some pretty big stuff.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. I love the second photo, the Boko Haram girl. Now,
yep.
My drama with this shot is that it's staged.
Right.
I mean, you don't happen to have a girl wearing that color in front of that colored background. It's not an as shot shot.
No.
Where all the other ones are, as you see, basically, you shot what was seen.
Yeah.
So, so I don't know if it'll win, but it's a really cool shot. I just don't know if it's win, but it's a pretty cool shot. So I just thought people would like to see that. I got some word today that there's a couple of new Tamron lenses coming. One to be announced next week.
Right.
And it's not Canon Nikon.
Right.
So I'm not Canon anymore. So it'll be interesting. And there will be another Canon Nikon one announced a couple of months further down the track. So there's a couple of new lenses coming.
Right.
Pretty cool. And my last thing I had on my list was, I actually sent a photo to you.
Oh, did you?
There's a photo in underneath those articles. There's a little photo there.
Oh, okay. I think I've got to download it. Hang on. I'm just waiting for it to respond. It had a little downward arrow on the... I've clicked on it, but nothing's happening. The image appears to just be some blurred lines at a 70-degree angle.
Can you see that burnt-out pixel on the one on the right-hand side?
Yes, white dot. The little white dot. Yeah. Yep.
That's Earth.
From where?
From 5.3 billion miles away.
Wow, photographed by what?
By the Long Range Reconnaissance Imager.
Nice.
It's the furthest camera from, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's epic.
I've read actually from Voyager 1.
Oh, right.
But when it was 2.7 billion miles away.
Right.
And then I'll send you the article. They've got a couple of images they've taken of things. Kuiper Belt, where the first time they've ever photographed objects in this thing that's beyond Pluto.
Wow.
Through there. So, pretty cool. So, that one of the Earth is awesome.
That is cool.
So mind-blowingly good. So.
Nice.
Did you say we had a couple of things from listeners to talk about?
We did. We had an email from Rob Coates who said, "G'day, Inks. Saw this on the ABC website. Takes macro photography to a new level." So this is going to the complete opposite extreme of Glyn's photograph. And I think a couple of people might have posted this on Facebook. This was the Oxford student uses ordinary camera to capture a single atom in a prize-winning photograph. So, yeah, I haven't had a chance to read that story, but you can clearly see the single atom right in the middle of the photograph. So,
clearly see it.
Yeah.
How is that? It's exactly the same. You haven't sent the links through, so I can't see the picture. But,
did I not send the links? Oh, no, I didn't. I did not.
I know, that's why I said it.
Yes.
But see, isn't it funny that a single dot is Earth and a single dot is an atom?
Is an atom, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the other one, which I've just sent through to you, was from Adam, and this was something that popped up on fstoppers.com, and it was based on a YouTube video by Zach Arias about why you should never upload your images to a website called Unsplash. Now, I will admit, I'd not even heard of Unsplash.
Oh, yeah, no, Unsplash, yeah.
And one of Zach's biggest concerns, the video was 42 minutes, so sorry, Adam, too long, didn't watch, was this quote, "Let me make this as clear as possible. If a photograph is used in a commercial sense and it is not model released, you as the photographer are liable. You can be taken to court and sued. It's that simple." So apparently the big issue is the fact that you can upload images you've shot with a model to Unsplash without a model release being required.
Course,
and those images can then be used for commercial purposes by third parties.
Unsplash is a free image bank.
Right.
So you go on there and act for free and use them without anyone else's permission.
Yeah, right.
So you could just go out and use them for commercial purposes without the person who knew that doing that. And then all of a sudden you're the one responsible, even though somebody else has made the money out of it or whatever.
Yeah. Simply because you were the one who uploaded the image.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Interesting.
So the whole Unsplash. Zach's been going on a bit of this Unsplash thing for a few weeks now. I haven't really paid an awful lot of attention to it because, I've got a life.
Yeah.
That's just a lie. I just don't have enough interest in photography to pay that much attention. Is that the wrong thing to say? No, that's not what I meant to say. I have a life at photography. That's where it comes from. There you are. I've got too mixed up. I would never upload stuff to that sort of site, so it's not something I'd ever really pay much attention to anyway. But
yeah.
It's a big thing. He's saying the site's devaluing photographers and photography by actually giving away stuff for free.
Right.
So
interesting. Cool. All right, mate. Will you enjoy your time in Bangladesh?
I will have a fabulous. Well, I will have a time in Bangladesh. I'm just hoping it's a good one.
Yeah. Excellent. And when are you back?
Yeah. I should know that, really, shouldn't I?
How long are you gone for?
Should know that too.
Right.
After all, the first day.
Well, what are you doing on the first day in Bangladesh?
Should know that, shouldn't I?
You go watching the cricket.
I'm a little disorganised. I'm not about 2 weeks, so.
Okay.
About 2 weeks.
Excellent.
Just 2 episodes the following.
Well, mate, travel safely, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
We'll reserve that episode.
Yeah.
Talks of the tour. And picking on your foes.
Of course. All right, mate. See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email the boys at ShutterZinkPodcast.com.